Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Mullet Cast, the podcast where business and pleasure collide. Wow, I'm a little tongue-tied this morning. My name is Evan Balmer. Mike Mercia came in. He picked up some swag from Ming, and he got out of here with a big smile on his face. Today, we're joined by Kat London. Check out Kat online on Instagram and Facebook at Kat London Music. Her websites are katlondonmusic.com and katinvegas.com. Mm-hmm. What's going on, Kat?
Oh, everything. Everything and anything.
That's cool.
I'm up for it.
Awesome. You are up to everything. You're very busy, actually. I can tell from quick look online. You got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
So just, I guess, quick background how I met you. I saw you doing a gig with just a really early project you're tinkering around with a little bit with David Rossalon.
Yes.
So David, we had on the Mullet Cast before.
Nice.
And I saw you at Rebel Supply Company doing a gig with him there, very cool.
Yeah, that was a great gig.
Yeah.
Unamplified, you know. Good,
right.
Good acoustics because we were padded by all the shirts.
Right. That's a nice. Good backdrop.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. All right. So your bio, you call yourself, you're a songwriter, an actress, an improv comedian.
Yes.
Genre fluid.
Yep.
Is what you write, but
yep.
You say mostly dark pop.
Yeah.
So growing up, were you all of those things as well? Or how did you get to this point?
I probably was, ethereally, spiritually, but I just didn't come to the self-actualization of it. As far as genre is concerned, some of the music that I listen to is definitely influenced by my parents. I mean, anywhere from Styx, Pink Floyd, Broadway, Yanni. My first step into music myself, like owning my own CD as a thriving 11-year-old, was probably Jewel.
Nice.
So a lot of folk influence there.
Right.
And because of my cousin being infatuated with No Doubt, then of course I had to follow suit there.
Right.
And if you want to incorporate dancing in front of a mirror by myself as a young kid, we then enters Cyndi Lauper and Madonna.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then as my taste became refined and I learned more about the world, then I started listening to Damien Rice and some indie pop. I don't even know if that was even a genre early before that, but anything and everything.
Right.
Lady Gaga, I'm doing, you know.
Yep. That's cool. So is that how your interest in music started? Were you in like a kind of musical household where music was played a lot?
Played a lot. My uncle's extended family played guitar. They were in bands when they were young. And I learned a lot from them as far as like being near instruments, not necessarily playing them like a virtuoso, because I was concentrating, as a young kid, I was concentrating on musical theater at the time. Just school stuff, elementary school, middle school.
Right.
High school beyond.
So kind of like school musicals?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't start doing community theater until I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
But musicals all the time.
So was your interest more, where was your interest in that? Was it in the acting part more or the music or a combination?
It was a total goal of becoming a triple threat. Mm-hmm. I had started ballet when I was young at age 3, and then I think once they said you have to go on point shoes and wreck your feet forever, age 13, I said goodbye.
Uh-huh.
But the crossover was good because as soon as I wrapped up formal classes in ballet, I started musicals, very hefty musical theater in high school, which was total dance, learned some tap, everything. So always been a dancer.
Right.
And then always worked on my vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Still working on my vocals.
So you're doing like vocal lessons at the time?
I think I only took one summer of lessons. I was singing in church, actually, and that church leader was also my vocal coach. for one summer.
Gotcha.
And then I think for a year or two, I forget how many years, I did a, it was called the Monmouth Conservatory Choir in the area here.
Right.
So always that like classical influence.
Right.
And I didn't start, I started writing music, I would say, at age 13 when I got my first guitar.
Right.
But it wasn't totally, you know, full swing yet. So
gotcha.
I didn't get used to that non-classical voice until a little later.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you got a guitar, did you teach yourself? Were you taking lessons?
It was a combination. I think I only took a total of 4 formal guitar lessons at the Old Monmouth Music in Red Bank back when that was
a thing.
I remember
that spot.
Oh, yeah. 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 I worked there, too, for a
short stint.
Uh-huh.
That's sweet.
Well, I'm good friends with the family there.
So. What did you do there?
I was the front of desk girl who who managed the lessons and sold you tchotchkes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, like, do you need a tuner?
Right.
I got your tuner.
Your strap's looking a little shaggy, man.
Totally.
Tighten up your game.
I need a new strap. It keeps falling off. It's like the most dangerous thing for an expensive guitar is to have a crappy strap.
Right, totally. So when you're 13, you get a guitar. This is like pre-YouTube also, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, nowadays everyone's like, oh, well, it's, you know, you can sit around and you can learn guitar from YouTube.
Yeah.
You can see what other people are doing and then you could put out your own songs and covers and stuff.
Right.
So, you know, pre that phase, like, are you listening to music trying to figure it out, or are you just kind of fooling around, like noodling around trying to?
There were a few songs that I tried to play by ear, like tried to play Tracy Chapman songs by ear that I can't even do anymore, and definitely tried to. There might have, you know what, unclear memory on this, I don't know when tablature started becoming a thing on the internet, but definitely tried to start reading tab, whether that was in, you know, high school or college, I forget.
Right.
Tab was huge. And just a little bit by ear. Basically, I was trying to get a feel for the strings and finger picking, finger style, using my own imagination. Also, my family would teach me some riffs, my uncles. Yeah.
So did you kind of envision yourself being like in that Jules / Tracy Chapman vibe?
I did, definitely. But at the same time, I wanted to be Gwen Stefani. It was this like horrible fight in my head. It's like, do I want to be like this girl, like with my hand? For those of you just listening and not watching the video, with my hand behind my head and my hair, and, you know, scraggling my hair a lot. Or do I want to be Jewel, like straighten my hair, wear a nice button up collar, you know, very conservative. But it, you know, it was that hybrid that I think makes me who I am today.
Right.
And also just being authentic to whatever my own physiology allowed with my voice. Like, my speaking voice is fairly deep, and my singing voice, and it could be attributed to classical training and where to resonate, is kind of high.
Right.
Very sweet sounding, depending on the genre. I can make it huskier. Now I have way more control of it, you know, years later. But
right.
It was always very weird to, like, be like, hello, my name is Kat, and then be like, la, 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 la.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Very odd. Hard to place.
She's been possessed.
Yeah.
Did you continue on? Did you go to college to study arts, basically? Or what'd you do?
College was funny. I went to TCNJ, the College of New Jersey, staying in state, and I, when I was choosing my major, I chose marketing.
Right.
And I didn't choose a minor yet. They didn't have theater. Okay. They had a theater minor, but I was like, what are you doing? You know, what is that going to, this is not an art school necessarily, unless you were going for actual music.
Right.
Their music program, like instruments, classical vocal, very, very intense there, but that wasn't really my jive. So I went for marketing, and then 2 years into it, I'm like, what am I doing? Like all the creativeness, besides doing the clubs. I was a radio host. I did improv comedy. That's when I learned that improv comedy was amazing.
Right.
Did all the musical theater, and it was entirely student-run, which was really cool. They did 2 shows a year, so I was doing that. I also started performing my singer-songwriter songs through one of the campus, I don't know, organizers or something.
Right.
They would put us in a club called the Rathskeller, the Rat.
I think every campus has a rat.
Okay,
right?
There we go. Totally. Yep, yep. So, you know, 2 years into school, I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm not, like, marketing is great, but I feel like I have, at least for what I need for my future, what I felt internally is I know enough of the gist of it in order to apply that now to what I changed to, which was a film, TV, and radio concentration in the communications. And then I kept a minor in marketing, and I added an art history minor.
Cool.
So I was, you know. I don't know, call me indecisive.
Right.
Call me.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Genius.
That's right. Totally. Cover all the bases.
Yeah, exactly.
So was it college then you started, where you first dabbled in comedy?
Yes, absolutely. Unless you want to consider, I just got a little flashback. My cousin would put me in a lion mask and dress me as Jasmine, because I was Jasmine for Halloween one year when I was very, very little.
Right.
And make me lip sync to, what is that romantic song that the lion and the Lion King sing together?
I should know, because I just saw the Lion King this spring at my daughter's elementary school. Yeah.
What's it?
But I don't remember.
Can you feel the love tonight? Yeah, so I would do that in front of my whole family. So that was my first comedic endeavor. And then later was comedy in college when I auditioned for the improv troupe.
Right. And what about in classes growing up? Were you like class clown kind of person?
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not.
Really?
I was totally straight edge. Hated kids who were, you know, fooling around and interrupting my learning.
Right.
I was like total the antithesis of who I've learned to become today and who I probably only always wanted to be. But I was definitely a rule follower. You know?
Right.
I think rules protect people to some extent. You know, that's why we have lines on the roads and we can't just drive wherever we want to. And unless you're in New Jersey during the summer and people drive wherever they want to anyway.
Right.
You know, breaking rules left and right.
It's true.
Yeah.
So then what's it like the first time you get on stage in a comedy setting? Where you're like, what have I gotten myself
pretty
into?
Pretty nerve-wracking, because improv is a very hard beast to take on. I actually dabbled in stand-up once in college, and I was more confident walking on stage for stand-up and bombing, which I did.
Right.
Basically, when I was met with no laughter doing the stand-up tryout, I was like, maybe they couldn't hear me.
Right.
Like, that was my mindset. But with improv, there's great opportunity to support people. And if you get inside your own head, there's great opportunity to let some people down.
Right.
Because you're doing it as a team. And at the time, the troupe was very large. It was like 10 or 15 people. They tried to keep it small, but typically improv troupes, like if you hone it down, they could go anywhere from solo improv, which is crazy difficult, to like six people is about where they want to try to keep it.
Right.
But I was in a troupe even after college with 10 people for a while, but we were so close that you would never know that there was just too many people on stage.
Right.
It was so copacetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's improv like rehearsal like? Like, do you keep it strictly improv, or do you cheat a little and map things out a little bit?
No. I mean, there's short form improv, there's long form improv, there's musical improv, and there's new forms of improv being birthed every day. Some of it has a format just so it's easy for the audience to pick up on patterns, but what you create within those patterns is completely on the spot, and it's always generated by either a word, like, can we get a word from the audience, and they say gymnastics, and we go, great, gymnastics. It's not necessarily going to be a scene about gymnastics. It's going to be whatever. It's called A to Seeing. So A symbolizes gymnastics, the word. Okay. C would be falling. I don't know, because maybe B would be a balance beam or like the Olympics or something. And then maybe from that, it's like whatever.
Right.
I don't know. But you're going to learn today. Very limited pre-planning, if none. We would, in college, we would start with short form. So we would say, okay, we're going to be doing a hoedown, and okay. you would like, da, 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 da. You would just hum the same thing, but every lyric you would insert gotcha. Something totally, completely made up.
Right.
Yeah, that's short form. Long form is a little more fluid. They teach it at the UCB Theater, Pitt Theater in New York.
Right.
You know, all that birth from Chicago,
right.
basically, and elsewhere.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So, all right, after you get out of college, where's your career path take you once you segue into music, film, television?
So, yeah, I was working.
/ marketing.
Right. I just kind of went with the flow right out of college. I had interned at 101.5,
mm-hmm.
and I was on the Big Joe Henry show while they were doing their Jenkinson's Pavilion show, the talent show
right.
That he was doing annually. And I was the talent coordinator as an intern,
right.
but I was completely responsible for booking the talent.
Right.
And that gave me some really good banter between clients and, you know, the riffraff, and it was like a really good balance mesh there. And from there I met the videographer that he was using, so I started interning for the videographer
right.
after that internship closed up, and then doing some real work for there. And then I worked for a virtual reality videographer firm right after. It was like bing bang boom boom boom,
right.
Doing admin stuff, but kind of being on the film end a little bit, and working with this great sound tech, Eric, there. And from there, I think I like waitressed in between. And then a friend of mine was like, hey, do you want to do like a somewhat paid internship at Paper Mill Playhouse Theater in, right. Oh God, what town is that? I forget. But right near Short Hills. Uh-huh. Like, yeah, definitely want to do that. And I was working with talent. I forget what the actual the job description title was, but I was working on Cameron McIntosh's Les Mis tour,
mm-hmm.
where they were workshopping it there at Paper Mill.
Oh, okay.
And then the goal was to bring it on tour or Broadway or whatever the hell it was, and
right.
then I worked on their in-house play Spelling Bee.
Right.
So working with talent contracts, and that was that. And then I've held so many jobs, I don't know, you know, what came first or whatever, because right. all during that I was also doing blogging
uh-huh.
for Discover Jersey Arts. Like I had the pleasure of interviewing Brandi Carlile, who's a wonderful folk hybrid singer-songwriter, you know, when she was kind of just gaining steam.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Martin, actually. While
really?
I had that job, yeah, that was really cool.
It was like a banjo conversation.
It was a banjo conversation. Yeah, yeah, it was a hybrid conversation.
Right.
I think he was going on tour at the time, but it was really cool to speak to a guy who, because I had always felt like, oh man, do I not have a focus? Like, is that my fault? Is that you know, I not only did I change my major, you know, I'm also interested in just way too much stuff. Is that like a fault of mine, or is that positive? And then I'm like, wait a second, Steve Martin, writer, actor, author, musician,
right.
nice guy, everything, you know,
right.
proud, you know, a really good example
uh-huh.
to follow.
Did you learn anything from him from that interview?
You know, a little bit, just to like stop worrying.
All right.
Not that I necessarily follow that advice. Can say like right after, but
right.
I know I learned it, and I kind of
sticks with you.
It stuck with me. Yeah, I think I don't know. I had a lot of like comedic influences, like growing up, big Jim Carrey fan, huge Jim Carrey fan.
Right.
So all those people who were just like kind of like just be yourself, calm down. And
right.
Like, I want to be, but I'm a rule follower, and then you know, so all these consecutive jobs right after college kind of made me wake up that I was like coming out as an artist,
mm-hmm.
More so than what I wanted to be all this time, which was this like 13 going on 30 girl who wants to like work at MTV Networks and the Viacom industries and like be this huge marketing guru and
right.
socialite and living in New York City and whatever. But now I just kind of been like taking life as a wave,
right?
Just, you know, riding it out.
So were you gigging that whole time, like when you're working these jobs, or did you put creation totally on hold?
So I was gigging. I was hitting up some open mics as a singer-songwriter. I forget what year we began recording. It might have been a year or two. No, it must have been 2 years into college. My uncle had a friend from yesteryear who was doing recording in Woodstock. And I had already had some songs written and demoed out by my lovely friend Ben in our college dorm room. And we brought those demos to my Uncle Vincent's friend. And they're like, let's make you a CD. I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is great.
Right.
And all the while I was like gigging out cover music with my Uncle Vincent.
Okay.
Plays guitar, sings. So we were hitting up, you know, wherever in New Jersey that would take us. While recording with my friend Jeff, and we had Joey Eppert on the...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The track and everything. And we would just go during school, but during breaks a lot. I would go up and down to Woodstock by myself or with Jeff or my uncle or whatnot. And we kind of made a little community there. We would play in the local theater there, Bearsville Theater, which is just so gorgeous. And that was like, that was my first recording studio experience. Very blessed to have that take place. And then I think we had the CD release maybe, like a little less than a year or like a full year after graduating college for me.
Cool.
Might have been 2 years, I forget.
So is that...
Yeah, 2 years.
Box of Chocolate?
That is Box of Chocolates, yes. Cool. No longer found on the internet unless you're lucky.
Really?
I haven't searched for it in a while.
You still have it, though?
I do still have it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's framed.
So is that like on purpose? You took it off the internet?
Or? I think it was on purpose for something, and then I wasn't good at a lot of like, as much as I should have just kept the marketing major, truly.
Right.
Because I did a lot of stupid things with my music, which was like not shove it in everybody's faces. Be like, hey, look at, to an extent, I was like, look at me, like this is my dream. Let's go, let's go.
Right.
But now knowing what, you know, what's out there and the avenues that one can take for independent music.
Right.
I feel like in my, you know, the mysterious brain of the music industry, I was kind of like, someone will discover me. You know, I was so young and I didn't have, you know, it wasn't like my parents were record executives that could have given me the advice. And also, like, I don't know. I was also teaching tennis. Like, I was so scattered. I was a tennis coach. I was a theater coach.
Right.
It was like everything going on.
Right.
Like I could have done better, but you know what? That was all part of the growth process.
Right.
So now that's what I'm, you know, that's kind of my mission now.
Right. That's cool. I mean, you said one discovery we talked about a little before is your primary instrument, I guess, is piano, right?
It is what I write on. I would say my primary instrument is my voice.
Okay.
But yes.
Right. So at the time of releasing that, I think you encountered someone that heard your CD and said, you know, maybe your voice would go better with piano versus guitar.
I forget why. I knew the O'Neill family from Oceanport, and we run into each other on the boardwalk. I knew them from childhood. You know, I was childhood friends with their daughter, and we were just talking. They're like, how you doing, Kat? Like, you're so grown up, obviously, like graduated after college. They're like, what's your PRO? Like, are you BMI or ASCAP with your music?
Right.
And I was like, what? I'm like, neither.
Right.
And they said, oh, you have to do BMI. Mm. Like, you know, like we have good relations with BMI. Like that's where our fam is at. So I was like, okay, BMI. And I'm, you know, just researching them. And there's this songwriting class that they do that you have to audition for.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what brought me into the office. You have to audition. And, you know, I was very grateful to get in, which was nice. It was like an 8-week course that they sponsor. and the woman who was in charge of writer relations.
Right.
There's a piano in the room there, and I think at the time I had tried to write a song on piano for the class.
Right.
Like, you know, very basic chording, like probably the first piano song ever.
Right.
That I tried, and then she said, "Hmm, your voice sounds better with a piano." And I was like, "What? How dare you? I've been playing guitar," or like playing guitar, writing on guitar.
Right.
But it was probably the best thing, you know, since my whole life hinges on diversifying myself.
Right.
It was the best thing that ever happened because it does, no matter what, it just changes the aesthetic sometimes. You know, a piano is a softer feel, or at least the way I play it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it evokes a different emotion, different lyrics.
Right.
Because I love lyrics. I'm obsessed with poetry. I've been writing poetry for probably longer than I picked up a guitar.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for most people that, you know, they hear forget everything you're doing and now do this. Like, you're like, A, you know, whole, you know, I think, like you said, that was your first reaction. But then B, like, how do you actually do it? So, you know, how do you jump in and suddenly take that advice and run with it?
A lot of being by myself in my room.
Right.
Like, I think the encouragement, I just love the thought of encouragement. I think encouragement can really enlighten a self-doubting artist. It can really enlighten a confident artist.
Mm-hmm.
Encouragement is the best medicine. And you can even, you know, self-encourage if you have that strength within you. Meditate on that a little bit. I'm sure I have a more concrete, like, calendar answer, like what happened next kind of thing. Pretty naturally, I think I was just fooling around on the piano, and I call myself a choreographer on the piano because I don't necessarily know what I'm doing or,
right.
you know, scales and whatnot. My husband is a classical piano player.
Okay.
And has crossed over into like synth pop programming, stuff like that throughout his years. And I always say, like, "I'm not as good as you. Like, this is ridiculous. No one wants to hear me on this." And
right.
he's like, "Actually, you're getting by quite well. And I'm rather impressed that you don't know what you're doing."
Wow.
And that was 7 years ago now. So now I have, like, a little bit more under my belt. So I can fool anyone is what I like to say.
That's
now.
Cool. I think, like, you know, that's the classic, artists always doubt themselves. Because you hear things like, you know, you can't get, let's just say you play the wrong note during a song, during a performance, right?
Yeah.
And if an artist gets in their head, they're, you know, the worst thing, that's the worst thing they can do. They just got to keep going because 99.9% of the audience has no clue anything happened.
The
right?
best training I ever had on that, and I just think everybody in their lives should take either a theater class or do a show or take a comedy class or something like that, because what they were my choreographer Nicole DiVincenzo was just such a powerhouse. I just adored her. The whole team was really strong, and we were lucky enough in my high school career to hire out professionals to teach us theater in the best of ways. And what we learned was, you better be smiling. Wear your smile, because if you're smiling, no one's going to look at your feet. Because, you know, in high school, not everybody is a triple threat dancer. You know, they have to learn. There's a learning curve there. And, you know, you have 3 months of rehearsal, but you're not always going to get everything perfectly. But wear your smile. Like, don't apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Don't apologize that you're not a great dancer. Like, also, you're in high school. Calm down. Like, it's okay.
Right. That's right.
But that was the... Just smile through the performance. If you have a bad note, people are very forgiving. People just want to emote. People just want to feel things. That's way more important than being critical, you know?
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
So from that point, you started writing on piano would be your primary.
Yeah, I tried to get myself into the groove of that to the point where... I wouldn't say it was detrimental, but to the point where I was like, what does a guitar feel like again? You know, and my band, you know, I was playing very much with a piano player, guitar player guy who would, you know, I would be hands-free for a lot of the time.
Right.
And we also had a cellist as well. But then a guitar piano player guy moved out to California. Luckily, my husband had, we weren't married at the time, but had kind of come in and like done piano for me. And right. So I was kind of like going back to the guitar a bit, getting the feel for that. Mm-hmm. And always playing in like a trio kind of setting. But then one thing led to another. Now, right now, I'm playing with a drummer, a bass player, my husband on keys and vocals, and whether I'm playing piano, guitar, or nothing.
Right.
Yeah, so that's kind of our band setup right now.
That's cool.
It is cool, yeah.
So there was like a song in that period, The Right Way.
Yes.
There was like a, how did that come about? It was a sort of anti-bullying movement.
Yeah, so my friend Vincent Young is a music teacher in Middlesex, and he always, God, he does such a great job with his students. He would bring in music industry people that he knew to talk to the kids and like have that be part of the class. Like that was awesome.
That's cool.
So there was, I had already written the tune, and the tune just came to me. Like it's a song that it's a duet. And in my head, it's to be sung between two young girls, high school age approximately. And
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
One girl's singing about how much it hurts that she's being bullied by this other girl. Mm-hmm. And then once the second verse comes in, it's actually the voice of said bully.
Right.
But that bully is talking about how she's bullied at home and how that affects the whole domino effect there.
Right.
And, you know, they harmonize in the end, basically agreeing that they don't know much about each other, do they? And that they should. So I brought that song to Vince, and I mean, if Vince was here, he'd be able to help fill in the spaces in my mind.
Right.
And only because so many good things have happened around that song is that it just gets so jumbled. Mm-hmm. On catlondonmusic.com, you could read more about it. And it became a kindness campaign. And Vince is not only a music teacher, very talented drummer, you know, guitar player, singer. He's a videographer. And he said, look, let's do this thing around this greatness, like, and let's have the kids involved, because the kids were so, because it was such a safe environment for them to vocalize and and stand for something in that classroom, it just made so much sense. So we made a campaign video with those kids,
right?
And they basically riffed on some of the questions I asked. Even God, talk about expounding upon like a topic. They nailed it. And we, that was the mission. It was just, you know, be kind. During that time, there was a lot of, well, maybe not a lot of, but it was ramping up with the anti-bullying thing.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, why does it have to be anti a thing when that's really not the problem? That's like, what my husband and I like to say is, the leak in the pipe is behind the wall. Don't just patch up the wall, fix the pipe.
Right.
So don't just patch up the wall and be like, bullies are bad. It's the bullies. They should be, you know, exiled. No, fix the pipe. Fix the home life. What are you doing?
Right.
You know, let's be smarter about this. You know it's happening. Why aren't we being smarter about this? So anyway, the kindness campaign happened, and then we're like, wait, we need a music video for this. And the music video idea... So I was taking Zumba classes,
right?
and my Zumba gals, you know, we would just laugh and have a great time. And one of the women at Zumba, Michelle, she said, "My daughter is a dancer, a competitive dancer in Lincroft, and there are some we know of the other girls, like the daughter of the daughter of the owner of the place,
right,
always danced with this other girl, Erica. So Danielle Nicolosi and Erica Russo. I know these very high-level competitive girls who would absolutely do a beautiful lyrical dance to this song. And the only reason why Michelle knew about my song was because my Zumba teacher, Michelle, two Michelles, right, played my song as a cool down in a Zumba class. So that, so it's just that total and utter support of that song made everybody go, wait, I have an idea. So now these girls, they said they would choreograph.
Mm-hmm.
They said they would choreograph this song. So gorgeous. And then my friend Ian Keeney, who's a videographer, Ian, where do you work? CBS? I forget what you do. But total filmmaker guy, author, everything. He just does everything. He said, yeah, I'll film it.
Right.
I'll film it. So at Middletown Arts Center, the girls, they must have done it. What do you think, Danielle and Erica? You think he did it 12 times? They were, I just don't even know how their hearts, like, take it. Like, I mean, I remember dancing a lot with musical theater,
right,
but, like, they just danced this very intense dance for 2 hours wow, straight.
So then the video, you ended up submitting it to a bunch of festivals, right?
Film festivals. We won the Homegrown Music Award at Garden State Arts Film Festival. Did I say that right? Garden State Film Festival, that's what it was. And Ridgewood Film Festival. We actually performed at that film festival inside the movie theater, which was really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was neat. That was neat. And I think we brought it to Rahway, which is now Westfield Film right, Festival.
So it took yeah, on a whole life just
yeah,
from...
And it had a little shout-out in Dance Magazine, which was wonderful.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It was a feature for the October issue at the time.
So where did your interest in this start? Was it... Did you have some experience growing up with this or, like, a story you heard?
I feel like these topics and characters and realities are always inside me.
Mm-hmm.
Just be... As a kid, I you know, I was bullied as a kid, but it really didn't come from my own, like, that,
right,
like, from what was done unto me. It was more of what I used to do for kids who I would observe getting, like, railed on.
Right.
I would jump to their defense. I would be a listening ear for them if they had a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the discovery, that, like, heightened discovery of being allowed into their world of hurt.
Right.
And I'm like, wait a second, what is happening? And also being a theater teacher for a bit at Algonquin Arts down in Manasquan, I'm like, oh, man, there's just a whole bunch of misunderstood going on. Like,
right,
this needs to be written about. Yeah, it just bubbled up inside me. And
yeah,
I, you know, kind of organic like that.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
So now that we've fully covered, like, your transition from guitar to piano.
Yep.
Do you feel like breaking out your guitar and maybe
sure,
playing a little music?
Sure thing.
So this is what I was thinking on the way over. I'm like, oh, you know, piano's more of her, what she writes and performs with, and I asked her to bring in her guitar and play something.
Right. That's okay. I really like this song.
It's cool.
So I'm just going to be tuning up. We can talk while we do this.
Excellent.
I just got a new setup on this guitar, so the strings are a little new,
right,
little young. You know, it's like stretching before Zumba.
That's right.
You know all about that, right?
Of course. Ming taught me all about that.
Right, Ming's a Zumba freak, I hear.
So what song are you going to play?
I'm going to play my song Involved, which is off of my Dangerous Me record.
That's cool.
Involved is really cool. There was a casting of a reality TV show, a pilot called The Song.
Right.
Who knows where that will end up or if it's still doing its thing, but...
Who were the judges on that? Was it Lisa Loeb?
Lisa Loeb. Oh, my God.
Lisa Loeb's, like, one of those people that had a song I was completely obsessed with at the time. I can't think of the name of it.
Is it You Say?
Yeah, yeah, that was a great one, man. But never really sort of... She's always, like, kind of been around, but...
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like,
I forget what her discography was after that, but I think her accolades really stemmed from the fact that it was entirely independently marketed,
mm-hmm,
et cetera, you
right,
know? And I think at the time that was kind of like a huge ordeal.
Right.
That someone could break records with just being an independent, and it kind of like woke up the labels. They're like, wait a second, people don't need us? Oh, right.
Totally.
Yeah.
So this song was submitted for the show, the song.
Yep, and it was accepted, and that was basically the one we concentrated on during filming out at Ball State University in Indiana.
Really?
Yeah.
Of all places.
Of all places, yeah. I think
David Letterman, right?
Yeah. Yep. Which was cool, you know, because otherwise I was like, why is it being filmed here? But there was a lot of connections that I think the producers had there. And a college is a good place to, you know, use the dorms and stuff to house us.
That is a good idea. So is the premise of the song, is it almost like The Voice, but the focus is the song itself? Like, as
for this one, I would say it's totally and utterly message. Mm-hmm. You know, fingerstyle always leaves rooms for the voice. Or do you mean according to the song itself? Like,
no, premise of the show, right? Like, we're focusing on the song as a songwriter.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, they were focusing on the songwriting.
Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. And I'm sure like how it was conveyed by the artist a little bit, you know, it always helps.
Cool. All right, so I'll shut up.
That's okay. I just need to get in the groove, you know. The song is called Involved. I'm okay with being alone. I'll read a book while all my friends smoke on the porch and check the telephones. I've opened my heart 1,000 times before. When the lovers get to...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Close, I know they won't love me anymore. I didn't mean to see you smile. Didn't plan to talk for more than just a little while. Now all my friends, they start to talk, 'cause we're involved. And I don't really seem to mind at all. Complications get the best of me. Never look both ways to see who was the one standing next to me. But I can feel that something's coming over me. Didn't think I had much left, but you are bringing out the best in me. I didn't mean to see you smile. Didn't plan to talk for more than just a little while. Now all my friends, they start to talk, 'cause we're involved. And I don't really seem to mind at all. It's my turn to reach out. Took so long to figure out. It's my turn to reach out. Time to learn to live now. 'Cause I can't live without. Not now. See you smile. I didn't plan to talk for more than just a little while. Now all my friends, they start to talk, 'cause we're involved. And I don't mind, I don't mind, I don't. I didn't mean to see you smile. Talk for more than just a little while. Now all my friends, they start to talk, 'cause we're involved. And I don't really seem to mind at all. I don't seem to mind. I don't seem to mind. No, I don't mind at all. Yeah.
Nice. That's cool. That's a great song.
Thanks very much.
So is that a personal experience you're writing about?
Not at all.
Yeah?
Not at all, actually. Yeah. It's kind of like, I don't know, I kind of let the divine take over and just, like, have these characters come to mind. Mm-hmm. This, you know, I know a lot of artists don't, and, like, me to some extent, I don't, like, I want to leave room for imagination for the listener.
Right.
But that particular song, and I've been saying it at gigs, like, that was actually, in my head, like a male character.
Mm.
Kind of lonely, never used to being okay in love. And as much of my songs are not about that, a lot of them are, which is, like, so strange.
Right.
I don't know. It just kind of resonates with me, like, that image of, like, just this, like, lonely guy who, like, kind of messed up his life prior but, like, wants to fix it up.
Right.
I mean, all emotions are really cool and intricate, you know, female, male, and in between. But, like, my husband and I talk about, like, the, like, societal allowances of emotion, like, between male and female and otherwise.
Right.
And some are a little more stifled than others, and some are more mocked than others and stuff. So I kind of just, like, fascinated about people becoming themselves and being a little more secure with becoming themselves.
Right.
And that's what that song is. Like, I didn't mean to see, to even notice that you smile.
Mm.
I didn't even mean to notice, to be attracted to you in any sort of way, because I'm a bum.
Right.
You know, and that's that, like, that self-hate that makes you think you're undeserving of stuff. But I think, you know, like, love can be so magical that it could totally convert even the stiffest of lives. A little while, all my friends, they start to talk because we're involved, and I don't really seem to mind at all. It's almost like, holy crap, I'm shocked that I don't even mind this.
Right.
You know, I was so scared of it and pushed it away for all this time.
Right.
Yeah, that's that tune,
and
kind for of
like
sure.
Used to be guided by what other people thought.
Absolutely.
And all that stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's, I guess, all great songs do, right? They
absolutely
have something people can relate to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that whole description you just gave it, well, I mean, I'll just give you a quick guitar prop because there were some tasty little guitar parts
thanks
in there as well, which was cool. But on a lot of what you described is, like, mindset. And when I first reached out to you about coming on the podcast, like,
yeah,
you hit me with a quick email, and it was nothing about music, which I was almost shocked by, and it was all about mindset. You're like, yeah, this would be awesome. Like, I'm really into Tony Robbins,
yeah,
Ed Milet. I'm like, holy shit, like, that's really
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I've been slacking on the podcast. Like, I just got married June 1st.
Right.
So since marriage and, like, moving to our new place, we haven't been in our, like, meditation mindset, like, recently. But we are, like, Rich and I live and breathe, like, the Impact Theory, Tom Bilyeu podcast or videocast.
Right.
YouTube, Ed Milet, Tony Robbins, right. four-hour work week.
Tim Ferriss.
Yeah. Right. Rich really loves Tim Ferriss. I think I just wish if you're an original artist, you are an artist, but you're also an entrepreneur. Mm. And I think people are so afraid of the stigma around that word.
Right.
For no reason. They're just afraid of it without doing research on why they're afraid.
Right.
So I think it is your mindset. I think you do have to you know, you have to tend to your self-care. You do have to put, you know, positive energy out and try to find, I mean, you know, the hackneyed saying now is like, find your tribe, you know?
Right.
But really, it's just finding those people who encourage you, like finding that person who said, Kat, your voice sounds really good with a piano behind it.
Right.
Thank you for that encouragement. You actually gave me the greatest gift of all.
Yep.
Some of the songs that I connect with most now that I've written are on piano.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, I love how that, like, one encounter sets off a chain of events in your life. Right?
Yeah.
And then all the things that fall in place from that.
So have you seen Tony Robbins?
So since we...
I was just, like, kind of stalking you a little bit.
So since we emailed, I happened to see him, and I was going... It was actually, like, a real estate... It's called the Real Estate Wealth Network thing.
Cool.
That was going on in, like, Edison. And I had such...
Oh.
I had such low expectations for it.
Oh.
Because they had... They kept announcing speakers, and it was, like, one great one after the other. I'm like, we're going to see these people for 5 minutes, right?
Right.
So... I went into it, like, not knowing what to expect, and I'm thinking, it's a two-day thing. I'm like, oh, Tony Robbins will pop up, like, the second day.
Right.
And they can't have much time for him.
Oh.
He's there day one, 5 hours.
Shut it up.
Was the,
that's a dream.
It was, like, the greatest experience ever. Oh. So, like, my life's changed drastically since then, so it's awesome.
It is.
Yeah, super cool. And then for the double whammy, like the last couple of days, I've been listening to like old Tony Robbins interviews on Tim Ferriss' podcast.
Okay,
so
yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah.
But so I'm on, like totally, like I always love that kind of stuff, but I've never seen, like I've watched Tony Robbins' movie and just never seen him in person. So it was definitely like a super cool experience.
Let me hear you say, never been.
Yeah.
Total dream. Yeah. We're really into this guy, Vishen Lakhiani, too. Mm. I forget the name of. Oh, Mind Valley. Mind Valley is his company. And he has this, like, this getaway that you can go on, this retreat thing, and totally, like, on the bucket list there.
Right.
Definitely want to see Tony Robbins.
Right.
I'm going to have to just look up those, you know, I'll spend an arm and a leg on those tickets, but it's like. Like multi-day long extravaganzas of just like total power and believing yourself and just like kind of rocking that. It's not even about diminishing negativity in your life. I think people say like, don't be negative. I'm like, oh wow. Those bad feelings that you're projecting is so much more complex than negativity.
Mm.
It's, you know, there's so many more layers of self-doubt or not like miscommunication and non-connection with, like friends or even competitors. Or
right.
You just gotta, you know.
I mean, I thought it was an awesome combination for an artist when you emailed that to me because you're right. There is this, you know, it was almost like music business was a dirty word, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you could write the greatest song ever. It doesn't do anyone any good if you don't find a way for people to hear it, right?
Absolutely.
So,
like, what kind of change do you expect to make besides in, like, if you're just a ukulele player in your mom's basement, what do you expect?
Right.
I mean, unless that's your own form of meditation and your only concern is yourself, that's totally fine. Go through that healing process. Excellent. But if you really want to, you know, practice what you preach and say, you know, my music is impactful, I have a message in my music. Well, messages are left for people.
Right.
Like that's what voicemail is. That's what carrier pigeons are for. Like,
that's right.
Do you want the message carried forth? And in order for a message to be carried forth, to even have that first step of action,
right.
Someone has to send it.
Right.
You have to send it.
Totally.
You created it. It's important that you believe in yourself first before relying on asking for other people to support you through the desert.
Right.
And they will. You'll find those people who resonate with your music and everything.
Right. I mean, a quick perfect example of that is your whole Right Way project, right?
Yeah.
Because if you didn't have the right mindset, none of that would ever happen. I mean, if you think about, just take two quick excerpts, you talked about this story. It's like, all right, I'm writing a song about something I feel needs to be exposed to.
Yeah.
And I'm winning like awards at film festivals. And like one point in between is my Zumba instructor played a song for people.
Isn't
you
that crazy?
I mean? So like if you boil it down to like all the things that have to happen for you to set out and say, I'm going to make a, you know, a video or a documentary or something that gets recognized at film festivals, right? Yeah. And you look at how it happened, it's like you have to be in that state for that to happen.
It just it just incites excitement around it, you know? Not everybody was fawning over it at once.
Sure.
It was just those, you know, you have to follow that lead, essentially, you know, follow that belief.
Right.
If you can convert one person,
right,
you're on your way.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of the belief in my household is if you can convert one person, that's great.
Right.
And then you can have that energy exchange. And if that's important enough, you'll build from there. That's kind of like a Gary Vee approach is like start small.
Yeah.
Like just start now.
Yeah.
Like Ed Mylett even says, like, what? No, like hurry up.
Mm.
Hurry.
Right.
Hurry toward your goal. He has a really great metaphor that I would screw up if I start to say, but definitely go listen to Ed Mylett podcast. But hurry toward your, you know, sprint toward your goal.
Right.
You'll get there faster.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Duh. Right. So why are you taking all your, don't take your sweet ass time, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, let's go.
Don't dick around.
Don't dick around. What are you doing? Like, come on.
That was your most pressing question this morning.
Can I say this
on the podcast?
Yeah. That was my first question on Mulletcast. Can I say dick around?
Right.
And it was a resounding yes. So very happy about that.
So, I mean, is that why did you ask that? Because are you like...
Well, it was something Ming was saying.
Dicking around?
No. It was. I forget what it was. He was saying that he invited his music friend down in the basement to where the Steinway was.
That's right.
And I'm like, oh, just to dick around, right? And that's what I wanted to say naturally, gotcha. But instead I asked it like a weirdo.
Right. So out of like these podcasts and things and your marketing background,
yeah,
like what do you implement into your life as an artist to further your career?
It's been a little difficult because I've been met with a lot of adversity. Going from that very heavy marketing mindset, like even in high school, I was like, I'm going to be that marketing guru.
Right.
Being around people who really understood marketing and what it truly meant and how actually tender and loving it can be to artists, being surrounded by artists 100% of the time who, I mean, this might be, I don't know if this is, it feels correct to say that they don't really have the reps that marketing is a positive thing. They think they're being targeted and manipulated by marketing.
Right.
They think they hate the word networking. They, again, bad stigma because they don't have the positive reps or any reps at all about what marketing and networking can actually mean, which I think, I mean, like, I don't know. Do you go to a church group? Do you go to a book club? That's networking, guys. Right. Like, what are you doing? Like, don't put a bad stigma on it. Don't perpetuate that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting off topic. I forget what I was supposed to be answering, but yeah.
Like, what do you incorporate?
How do I incorporate it? Yeah. I just try to be consistent.
Right.
I try to be consistently interested in what I'm genuinely interested in. If I'm not genuinely interested in something, I want to learn more about it.
Right.
So if I don't understand something, it's not because it's bad. It's you have to practice not assuming things are shit just because you don't like them right away.
Right.
I'm like, well, what don't I know? What is my humanness? What am I refraining from right now that I could maybe be more active in learning about?
Right.
So I've just basically been totally unabashedly accumulating experiences, building that resume up to not be tunnel visioned in anything.
Right.
And also being vocal. Like, a great connection that happened recently, great example. I was on a gig in Asbury Park. I played my set, and then right after me was this great singer-songwriter from Montana, Luke Dowler.
Mm-hmm.
And he moved me so much. I said, this guy is the embodiment of passion and great material, and he's communicating it so well.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's what I'm doing for myself,
right.
but also it's my goal. You know, I have work to do as well. And I just wanted, you just want to be near that energy. It's
right.
kind of like, don't go toward the light. I can't help it. Like, it's, I want to go toward the light.
Right.
So I said to him, I would love to sing backups for you if you're ever touring back in Asbury. You're playing solo right now.
Right.
I could definitely hear like a ghosting female harmony in the back. And he's like, okay.
Nice.
You know, and then we connected on Instagram, which
right.
is like the best business card
totally.
Ever.
Yep.
Instagram. And he said, hey, I'm actually going to be back in the area.
Right.
Would you like to sing on all these gigs with me? I said, yes, I am available for 3 shows. We played The Saint, we played The Chubby Pickle, we played The Bitter End in New York.
Right.
And he goes, He said, Kat, do you also happen to know a piano player and a drummer? I said, indeed I do, Luke.
Right.
And lo and behold, now we got to record in at Atlantic Records 2 days ago for Luke's single that he's putting on a compilation there with Telegraph Hill. And my drummer, so I recommended my drummer
right.
and my husband, Rich,
right.
piano player.
Right.
And Luke was grateful. He's like, I can't believe like you would be willing to do this. I said, Rich and I were talking about this. We didn't tell Luke this yet, but thank you for trusting us. That
right.
is like the epitome of networking at its best.
Right.
Is this just like this orb of trust and whatever happens, happens, man. Dude, like what's going to happen? And my drummer,
right.
my drummer was like, Kat, thank you for this opportunity. I said, I didn't give you any opportunity.
Right.
I just, you're a great drummer.
Right.
We deserve to be around people who want to build this empire of greatness, to make change,
right.
to send the message out. Again,
yeah,
like,
that's cool.
Come on, let's all be some pigeons. We need to be our own carrier pigeon.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, that's awesome on so many respects, because, like, you could have just thought these things and never talked to them, you know. It's like
being silent is the worst. You got to open up your throat chakra,
right.
as some people would say. You got to say what you need to say.
Right. Hey, because I get all inside my head. I'd be like, oh, this guy, he doesn't care what I'm thinking, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? And then you just walk away. And
absolutely.
The one thing he wants to hear is like someone was moved by his music, you know?
Absolutely. Right. It's that encouragement. And that's what my drummer Anthony was saying. He's like, who knows? Even you saying like, hey, I believe in your music so much, Luke. Like, I want to sing with you. Like,
right.
Who knows? I mean, I don't know, Luke. You could prove me wrong. But maybe that changed, you know, something in,
right.
in Luke. Like, oh, man, maybe, you know, it was the...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Proper encouragement he needed. I just think we were all vibing off each other really well that I think,
yep.
you know, none of these answers are incorrect. I think
right.
this is all, you know, this is all pretty aligned.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so fortunate. And that's networking at its best. And networking is really just kind of jiving spiritually and not silencing yourself.
Right.
When it matters, you don't even know when it matters most. And as a blanket statement, it matters always.
Right.
It matters always.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I mean, that was half of like the Tony Robbins thing that day was
really?
Was be around, you know, people that are doing what you want to do, basically.
Yeah.
You know, don't hang around with the people you have to pull up. It's like, you know.
Right. And like the ratio, yes, be around the most like-minded people you can, because you know the likelihood that it will empower you quicker is, you know, the ratio is higher there.
Right.
The likelihood is higher. People, it's interesting. People confuse like-mindedness, I find, with people who are doing more successful, in quotes, things than you. I actually have learned so much being around like-minded people who aren't doing as technically, you know, as one would deem successful things that I
right.
am. So like beginners, or as we call them, you wouldn't even call, you don't just because you're starting something does not mean you're amateur.
Right.
Amateur is a mindset. Professionalism is a mindset.
Right.
So, you know, I've learned the my biggest lessons I've learned from about improv comedy has actually been from my students of improv. Kids, they'll ask a question or they'll do a thing that's like way more mind fluid than I've ever been. And I'm like, why can't I break that self-analysis that I go under, that self-doubt on stage, like this kid can?
Right.
And then I'll get inside my mind, I'll come up with the answer, and then it'll make me a better improviser.
Right.
You know, they say that about a lot of things. If you teach it, you'll learn it better.
Sure.
Or learn it quicker or whatever.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
So on your improv front, you have a group, Cat in Vegas.
Yeah.
And the Temple of Boom.
Yeah.
What are those kind of gigs like?
Those gigs are like if Pee Wee Herman were riding a rocket ship, were with Madonna on the back, with loose and lewd commentary on natural politics and pesticides. That's what it feels like, those gigs.
Right.
But Vegas and I met in college, so we've been doing this for over 10 years.
Wow.
And, you know, getting those reps in. We never took... We came from the short-form, long-form improv comedy world, and then we just kind of made this genre. There is such a thing called as musical improv is a thing. It does have a structure, and typically they stick to a musical theater structure.
Okay.
And it kind of helps guide the story along, and they just, you know, they create the story within that, like, very musical theater-y, like, accompaniment, like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da kind of thing.
Right.
So what we started doing was, since I was a songwriter in college, I just started playing guitar riffs, like, of my own music.
Right.
And Vegas started coming up with different lyrics to it. Some good, some bad, some inappropriate, some entirely appropriate. And then we both would contribute different made-up lyrics, again, based on a one-word suggestion from our audience. And at that time, we were in the basement of my friend Elaine's house. So that was our audience.
Right.
It was people that we were doing musical theater with at the time. And that's where it started. And since then, we've just been gigging wherever comedy would take us.
Right.
Our first public gig was at a temple, and which is perfect because Temple of Boom, it was... oddly appropriate. We've done two weddings. We do comedy clubs in New York once a month for the past 5 years, I think. Now we've been doing, maybe it's four, oh, I don't know, whatever, let's just say 4 to 5 years, we've been doing once a month every first Friday in Philadelphia.
Right.
The show is called The Show Gates. Show Gates with Joe Gates. At L'Etage, which is above a crêperie.
Nice.
It's a very fancy crêperie. It's like $30 a crêpe.
Wow.
And I still don't really, can't wrap my mind around why the menu prices are so heavy.
Right.
But the shows are good. So we've been doing that once a month for forever, basically.
That's cool.
Seems like it. And we were in Toronto last year doing a festival. We're going to be in Washington, D.C. in a few weeks doing their improv festival. So, you know, gradually just building.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. So it's, I mean, is that more of a performance outlet? And it combines like a lot of your worlds, I guess, right?
So improv can combine even a financier's world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so yes to your question, yes, it does combine. It is not a performance outlet. I actually really, I just adore sketch comedy, improv comedy, film acting, which I do a ton of indie stuff. You know, done other, like, extra work and whatnot. I would love for Cat in Vegas to have a Netflix special one day.
Right.
Or if it doesn't even go that route, maybe we could get some sort of YouTube channel. We do have stuff on YouTube, but, you know, just want to get some, like, live things. Like, the live shows are really what we perform, rely on now.
Right.
But just something bigger, you know? I really don't know what's in store. But we just booked, so there's a company called the Long Branch Trolley right here in New Jersey. And they just agreed to a show, an improv comedy show on their trolley.
Oh, no way.
So it's a BYO. It's just wine and beer, keeping it simple and classy, you know?
Right.
And it's just going to be Vegas and I screaming our heads off at these people in a trolley as we wrap around from like Red Bank to Convention Hall, Asbury, back
to
your car. Yeah.
So we're going to be on it the whole time.
We're going to be on it the whole time. They get a little, you know, reprieve from the madness at Convention Hall. They can, you know, loosen their bladders.
Right.
But yeah, that'll be, I think we booked, did we book? I think it's in October.
Right.
I think
it's a Long Branch Trolley.
Long Branch Trolley, yeah. We haven't done the marketing yet. This is actually the first time I'm speaking about it in public.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, do you have a goal to develop, like, some of the improv pieces, like that later they're released as a...
like a sketch or something?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, we have been... that's like the form of Second City almost. Like right. They do improv scenes and they make sketches. Yes, we have been trying to... by trying, I mean trying to get together and actually like focus ourselves on getting like old tunes and then creating maybe something more... you know, involved from that. I don't even know where it would start necessarily. Right. We also have a ton of ideas for either parody or original, like actually written instead of improvised, written right. original songs. We want to write a song about hazing uh-huh. and how hazing can just be absolutely, obviously we'll be mocking it right. to its full extent.
Right.
You know, we'll take it to the extremes. You know, it's been such a journey with comedy because, again, I was the good girl.
Uh-huh.
So it's very, I'm pacing myself. I don't want to. I want to be like Ed Milet and run toward my goal. But
right.
like, I'm pacing myself from being this, I'm not a shock comic by any means.
Right, right.
But I have to get used to this new voice of, of yes, being myself. The, right. like the person I am with my friends being it through my forms of media.
Right.
Like, oh, all right, like, Kat, people are going to judge you for that weird ass thing you just said. Are you ready? And I have to be ready.
Right.
You know, that's, I would say if I was in a job interview, I'd say that's my biggest shortcoming is constantly, well, it's my constant growth is battling the self-doubt of like judgment. You know, can I be brash
right.
without being judged? And the answer is no.
Mm.
You're going to be judged. Not that everybody should judge anyone. That should be obliterated from society. P.S. Everybody, judgment in general.
Right.
But I have to really just get away from that. I got to move away from that.
Right.
Yeah.
I always think that's the job of comics, anyways, to push the boundaries.
Absolutely.
And make you laugh at things that are probably like inappropriate if they were said in a different setting.
And we've said some stupid shit on stage.
Well, it's like the dumbest thing you've said. Come on, let's relive your agonizing moment.
Oh, man.
Right,
yeah, if you want to go down a really crazy wormhole,
right.
you could go on catinvegas.com and follow the YouTube thing. And it's just like one weird-ass thing
Is
after
it?
The next.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, very strange.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, so you mentioned before maybe you'll do a little improv performance here.
Or is oh, my like, God, did I say that? Was I high, drunk?
All of the above.
I could.
Or do you want to play something more planned? Would you want to play another thing?
I mean, whenever someone offers improv, I'm like, ooh, I got to take the challenge.
I'm thinking Ming can throw out a word and you could roll with it.
Do you want to do musical improv or would you like to do a scene with me and I'll help you?
Oh, man.
I would say yes. The mullet cast has never been more mulletier.
Maybe both.
Okay. So,
I mean, if I'm going to ask you to do a musical improv,
yeah.
I think I have to be prepared to do what you want me to do.
Sure. So Ming, all we need is a word that's not a food, is how I like to...
Oh, man, I love food. what if I said, like, flat tire?
That's
is that
perfect.
Two words? Okay.
No, that's fine. Okay. That's fine. A little compound word.
Damn you, Ming.
That's fine. Jason, I really appreciate you coming out here on the turnpike to change my flat tire, but you changed it now. You can go home.
I was looking for some instruction before we started.
Oh, no. Just go. I'll help you through it. I really think you can just go home now. I really have to get back to my kids. Like, you did your job. You changed your flat tire. You can leave now.
Are you sure? I'm not so confident that it... maybe I should follow you just to make sure you get home, okay?
Jason, this is like the third time you've suggested following me home, and quite frankly, it's like making me a little uncomfortable. I mean, look, we've been friends forever, but I really think you should get home to your dog.
You know, maybe I won't follow you home, but I have worked up a little appetite changing this tire. What do you say we grab something to eat instead?
Jason, look, I have to pick up Becca from gymnastics, and your dog is probably starving by now. I just feel like you're distracting us from getting home. Like, what is happening here?
Let's drop off the car at the repair place. It'll be there. I'll give you a ride. We'll pick her up at gymnastics.
Jason, I am married. Look. Is this about the $5 I owed you in kindergarten?
I have thought about it recently, actually.
I knew it. Jason, look. I promise, once things get settled at home, once I pay off my student loans, being a doctor is so rough, I will pay you back the $5 that I owed you back then.
Just give me some wings tonight. We'll call it even.
That is a mega deal. Damn! Was it not great?
End scene.
That is what it is. That's exactly what it is. So that is basically... Wow. Great job.
That's definitely nerve-wracking because I'm sitting there the whole time like, oh my God, I don't know what to say. I don't know where she's going to go.
And what I helped you, you know, like you can help people along by, you just have to actualize what the behavior is.
Right.
And then you just say yes to it.
Right.
You know, I was like, Jason, you're doing this. So now you know a little bit about your character.
Right.
Okay, Jason just won't leave his good old friend alone.
Right.
Like, thanks for the help, but what are you doing, you know?
Right.
That was great.
So are you trying
you're
to
natural.
Like are you writing in your minds when you're doing that? Like are do you,
we are very fast.
Yeah.
And you know, it's
I'm kind of seeing where you want to go.
Yeah, and we're utilizing training and reps really from our short form and long form experience, which is just basically like you were saying, what does a rehearsal look like? We're basically molding the mind to think about what's important about a scene, like if you were to watch a movie. Mm. What's important? Relationship. Who am I watching? What is their relationship to each other? Location. Where are we? Does it matter? Does the environment impact the characters at all?
Right.
What makes things funnier when you have no costuming or objects
right.
is miming. Or saying, that's a beautiful red shirt you have on right now. And like, it's not red. And that,
right.
you know, it's just that added element of detail. Like, comedy's in the detail, which may or may not happen with this following song that I'm about to sing you.
Right.
because, like, I don't know. I'm going to try it. So, Ming, just another word. Again, that's not a food. That's like Improv 101.
How about bottle cap?
Bottle cap.
Sorry, I'm with these compound words. I think that's actually two words.
You know what? That's actually extraordinary. I never think of compound words.
No.
Congratulations. Stepping on the beach in local summer after all the bennies have gone home. My sand used to be all grainy and clean, and now it's like a trash monster. I'm stepping on a bottle cap, stepping on a needle, stepping on your child's diaper. What is there to do on Sandy Hook? On Sandy Hook. On Sandy Hook, New Jersey. Yes, that's a hook in my foot. Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook. All right, that wasn't bad.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
So hopefully that sells you. Make sure to go to every Cannes Vegas show in your life.
That's right. So that's what you do. You have people throw out a word, and you guys take it right from there.
Absolutely. Mm. Yep, that's it. And it could...
That was a good one.
Yeah. It's usually delivered in some sort of sweet vocal tone, or
right.
if you're Vegas, mostly screaming.
That's cool. I love it. All right, so some upcoming gigs you got on the 26th of next month. Actually,
yes.
This looked like a cool one.
My camera.
You told me about this also. It was the Musicpreneur... Mindset Summit, right?
Very excited about that. We made that connection. We're doing these So Far Sounds They're like living room concerts gone cool. rogue, kind right. of. Some of them take place in people's living rooms. You know, it's around the world, really, now. Mm. It started in London. But we've been going to Washington, D.C., New York, and Boston, and then we're trying to expand outside of that.
Right.
But sometimes they do these living room-style concerts in businesses. And we cool. met one of the hosts at one of the New York so far's works for this woman, Suze, who hosts the Musicpreneur Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And we submitted our band to try to play the opening night of it, which is a Thursday, the 26th.
Right.
And they're like, yep, come on in. No. So they help indies who are in that self-doubt rut.
Right.
You know, what is the music industry? So we're going to try to demystify it is basically their goal. So they have some, they have some industry professionals speaking over the course of 2.5 days.
That's cool.
Yeah. I'm really happy to be a part of that.
Yeah, that looked awesome. Musicpreneur. So you're going to be playing at Junction in Long Beach, New York.
Never been there. It's going to be a new experience.
Long Beach is a cool town, so it should be good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I think tomorrow you're playing Campfire Festival in Boston.
So next Friday.
Oh, next Friday? Yep. Okay.
This Friday.
You're like the second person
Holy
to have
mackerel.
To. It's like Labor Day already. Like,
right. Yeah, this Friday I'm at Campfire Festival at Club Passam in Cambridge.
Mm.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. Any other upcoming gigs or anything?
I do. I am playing Rockwood Music Hall in the Lower East Side in New York City September 5th, so that's next week. And Cat in Vegas actually have a show in Philadelphia September 6th, the day after that.
That's cool.
And then there's a few. We're playing the Hackensack Performing Arts Center on the 27th. There's a bunch of stuff. I mean, the best way to get a list of my shows is catlondonmusic.com under the dates tab.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, catlondonmusic.com, catandvegas.com.
Yes, please.
Check them all out. I think you put yourself in perspective for me because, you're right, you are multi-talented and you're like, all right, what's it? So
Thank you.
Steve Martin connection is it's perfect. It's perfectly okay to be talented and successful at multiple things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I got to allow myself, it's been that journey of allowing myself to
So does it still stress you out sometimes?
Sometimes. I would say most drastically recently, not at all.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
All right, sweet.
Finally growing up.
That's awesome. I mean, I feel less stressed and I was anxious for you, your world's lived perfectly. I mean, you think about there is a diversity in the first song you played and then playing a bottle, but they're all worked together.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it was really cool.
It's been a weird hybrid, comedy and then very emotional, possibly categorized as sad music.
Right.
But I think it actually all feeds into each other.
Mm-hmm.
The most berserk comics are, they have that emotional side.
Right. That's your Jim Carrey connection.
Yeah, it's the Jim Carrey connection,
That's cool. All right, Kat, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Oh,
check out Kat on Instagram and Facebook at Kat London Music, and once again, catlondonmusic.com. I'm Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer. Thank you.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.